welcome to another edition of our Working Waterfront. This is Chris Bricker, and I'm joining my co-host, Port Commissioner Pam Petranek, later on, and Port of Port Townsend's Director, Aaron Berg, and also Matt Klontz, our Chief Engineer here at the Port. And we're going to get an update first before we head over to fishing vessel Cape Clear. So, Aaron, what's happening this week? I know you got a lot of news.
Well, it's been another busy week. You can count on me for that report. A couple things I'd like to highlight. One was we really appreciated the visit from U.S. Senator Maria Cantwell last week. Had a great tour of the Point Hudson Jetty project and a roundtable discussion of the economic impact of that project and really more broadly the marine trades in Jefferson County. Also, would like to mention the recent news this week of the port's interest in acquiring the Shorts family farm in Chimicum Valley. This is a pretty significant development. It's a 253-acre farm that the port could potentially acquire to help support the ag community and the ag sector in Jefferson County. We've got a lot of work between now and acquiring it, including a strong interest in working with people who really understand Chimicum Valley farming to help us with a farm management plan. But it's pretty exciting to think about how the port could play a role in that sector of our economy, as well as in food resiliency more broadly. But the jetty keeps going well. Matt is going to tell us what's happening on that project.
Thanks, Aaron. Yes, the jetty is going well. In fact, the contractor is a little ahead of schedule in terms of removing the breakwater, which is good news. It helps to have had such great weather to do the work, so that's certainly been a blessing. I think in the coming weeks, what the community will start to see is the new structure being erected, which will be exciting to see that go into place. But in the meantime, they will continue to do some of the excavation to remove some of the existing breakwater, but it won't be long and we'll start to see the new breakwater come together.
Well, this is all very exciting, so it is. Thank you for this month's report. And our Working Waterfront this month is going to be a little bit different. We're going to have part one. Captain Rick is going to give us a tour over there of the fishing vessel Cape Clear. And then week after next, we'll have a visit with the crew and their experiences. We have two young ladies in their mid-20s that had never been out on a fishing vessel before, so that'll be part two of our Working Waterfront. Home from Alaska and currently moored at Sea Dock in the Boat Haven, fishing vessel Cape Clear sits at rest. It's another story for its skipper, who at any given time can be found fixing, replacing, repairing, and caring for this 80-foot schooner, which has been refitted for trolling under sail power.
And my name's Rick Holtman. I've lived here in town since the early 80s and been part of the marine trades in one way or another and fishing in Alaska for the last 40 years. And this project, what started being built in the 70s, and in 1980 a hull was made for a fellow, and he worked on it for the next 20 years of his life, and then sort of ended that project, and it sat for years, and then I acquired the boat for the next 20 years. So my 3.5-year project in 2013 after I purchased the boat is finally functioning in the year 2022, 9 years. So I was off by about 6 years on getting it active.
I first met you when you were installing the refrigeration system. That was a few years back.
Probably 5 or 6 years ago, and it evolved from there. I just had it running a few minutes ago because we do have fish aboard at the moment from Alaska this year, and we are presently taking them off at 1,000 pounds at a time every few days and taking them back to my cold storage that I have built here years ago. And also some of them will end up in BSC, Bellingham Cold Storage, north of here. But it's been a slow process of taking them up the dock into the van and hauling them home, making sure that freezer system is operating and having all these fish in one happy spot together.
It's a delicate balance, really. I know you're used to it from years of experience, but it's really a delicate balance. It's keeping those fish happy.
Yeah, they like to be at minus 20 for their life after we've caught them for the next 9 months, and then they stay in a very stable quality manner so I can sell them throughout our community. but pretty much my job I've discovered is just to repair things that break continuously, and that's all I do every day is repair things and fix things and look up every once in a while. So that's what it's turned into anyway.
Well, when I look up, standing here, when I look up, I see a very tall mast.
Yeah.
Tell me about this rig.
Okay. This is the original rig on the boat that we just followed through of rebuilding it when we had the boat hauled. I think Kid Africa and a few people were the prime builders of this mast. And Kid Africa, when he was at Haven before he retired, also helped with Pam on the rebuild of it. So it's sitting here, the aft mast at I think 86 feet above the waterline. And then the foremast is in the 60-some foot range. And I discovered this year that this is way too much rig for myself and a few people on the boat. It isn't designed for somebody that wants to sail fish with a limited crew. I think it's designed for wealthy people that want to sail up and down the Straits of Georgia and part of Washington State and have a large crew and make sure they have cocktails in the evening. But if you're dealing with this much windage, anchoring and offshore, it's too much. So I'm going to be figuring out another solution, I hope, for this next year or soon to be.
Well, Rick, where do you want to go first? We'll go stern to stem or stem to stern?
Let's go stern to stem. We'll march aft.
Okay.
Okay, so these poles that you see midship are around 46 feet tall. Since we are a troller, which means a hook and line fishery moving through the water, we're operating at about walking speed, and we have maybe 40 to 60 lures out, depending on our depth, and we imitate a school of bait fish and try to entice creatures to nibble on our artificial bait. They prefer artificial bait these days and food over the organic stuff. I don't know why, but it seems to work better. So these poles will drop down at 45 degrees and spread the gear so that it separates all our little lures as we're imitating this school of fish. Here we go. But the after part of the boat here is where all the business takes place for landing fish and doing some cleaning and repairing leaders and hauling in our leaded weights. And we can steer the boat from back here with chart navigation systems and autopilots and throttles, and we have lights for evening fishing and winches here for lifting our 60 pound weights that drop our lures into the water, because we're fishing anywhere from 10 fathoms to 80 fathoms, which is 6 feet per fathom. And we do a lot of cleaning back here, and we bring the fish in aboard back here in the stern section of the boat, and then they slide forward. Since this is a schooner type rig and an aft arrangement, we have a tube that's 24 feet long, and with water in it, we slide the fish forward to another cleaning detailing area on our mid hatch where the fish hold is and the freezer evaporator is. So it's just a lot of space here to work with gear and leaders and equipment and try to entice those fish to come aboard.
And when you're underway or under sail, then you're on navigation, you're on autopilot.
We love our autopilot. We never want to touch our steering system. And if our autopilot burps for a moment, we're panicked and wondering what's going on. So it was a good pilot all the way up until the last 2 days of this season, and I have some issues I have to work with. I'm not sure what that is. But even under sail, when we transited under sail or for stability and riding sails just to keep the roll down, we always have the autopilot functioning. But 99% of what we were doing was motor sailing when we had the sails up, which made it much easier for tacking and just assisting the boat for stability and transiting.
We're going to end up in the pilot house / kitchen / lounge galley in just a moment. But how about if we head on down the boat and you can explain the front?
Okay. So here we're walking forward again.
Yep.
Past our poles and pin rails and our stabilizers attached to the poles. And we're in the midsection of the boat right now where we have our hatch. And I'm just going to lift up this lid and there's fish aboard right now, not too many, but the hold's probably at about minus 35 degrees. I just shut off the freezer. So you can take a peek down there and see some of God's little creatures, frozen stiff.
There they are. And boy, that's a deep hold.
Yep. There's probably the capacity of up to 20,000 pounds of fish on board if you're really organized, and depending on the size of the fish and how you lay it out. But that would be probably maximum for coho fishing and king salmon fishing for this boat size. It's a wonderful hold at work, and we spent probably 2 years building it, and it's well insulated, and we're able to turn the genset off for a few hours in the evening, which was wonderful. And there's just space, and I've never had space before on a boat to work like this for glazing fish and taking care of them, and it made a huge difference.
Rick, there's a bed of ice down there. Is that how do you lay the fish out?
So if you look down there to the right, you'll see some trays that are maybe 70 inches wide by 24 inches deep. And fish will be cleaned and detailed out on the deck here in within an hour. And they'll be handed down to somebody in the fish hold carefully. And we'll lay them out on these aluminum plates where there's an evaporator taking out the heat. So it's probably blowing 30 or 40 knots down there. And the heat is just immediately taken out of the fish, and they freeze really quickly. And a few days after they're frozen, we'll go down and glaze fish, which means we bring a barrel down, put 50 gallons of water in it, bring it down to 28 degrees, and we dip the fish into the water. And it encapsulates the whole fish and sort of galvanizes it with a certain percentage of frozen seawater around it to keep from any moisture of the fish of being desiccated or sucked out. There's zero humidity in the fish hold down there. And it makes sure the fish is protected and no chance of the yumminess of the fish being sucked away into the evaporator of the boat, if that makes sense.
Well, Rick, we have a few minutes here. Let's go on up front
Okay, so that lid is down. Cleaning stations you see right there. We're working on fish up forward and cleaning stations aft. And we have lots of water from refrigeration and pumps running on the boat to keep things clean and make things easier to clean our decks from fish blood that does accumulate. So we're going to go down into the forecastle right now, and on the port side, there's a room for a genset. Well, we did spend quite a bit of time with this room trying to make it as soundproof as possible and set the systems up so they're on vibration mounts, and anything we could do to get rid of noise was really important to me, because that is just incredibly fatiguing. So this room is also turned into our dryer for keeping clothing after we wash all our clothes, which is continuous every day. I mean, it's 100 degrees in here and warm, and it's just a great place to dry clothing. So we have a 30 kW genset that powers our condensers and pumps and other household needs. And it's our number one fuel burning source on the boat also. You're probably burning anywhere from 7/10 to a little over a gallon an hour when this is functioning.
Needs to produce a lot of energy, doesn't it?
It does. It's 30 kW here, 480 volt, three phase. And so when there's a lot of heat to be removed, it just requires quite a bit of energy. I'm not using it to its capacity, but it's still nice to have a little bit more than what you think you'll be using that way. So what else? This room used to be, it was made for two bunks originally. So we removed, in rebuilding this bunk, we removed 10 bunks. I can't imagine having that many people on board, and replaced it with a fish hold that can hold up to 20,000 pounds of fish and this genset mechanical room here. And so I discovered this season that three people is a really wonderful number to have on the boat. And any more than that is maintenance. a lot of people maintenance.
Yeah, people maintenance, right? I've heard that more than once from different crews, I have to tell you that, or different captains. That's fascinating to me that you were able to design and make all the room here for fishing capacity as opposed to passenger capacity, and yes, it was quite the job.
This starboard side here that you see just filled with equipment is also a double bunk, which I decided to load up with tools and other things that we had on board while we were rebuilding the boat. So I pretty much have discovered if you carry the piece that's going to break, it will not break. So you have to carry everything with you, and whatever's going to break, you're not going to have anyway. But that's just the way it operates that way.
Maybe somebody else can use it, right?
Yes. And so up forward of here, Chris, is staterooms for crew, which is only one at the moment, and chain lockers and head and other assorted wonderful comfort zones for people. It's a lot of room for people in here. I mean, this is more room than my house.
There is a lot of room up there.
There's a lot of room. You're standing on 1,000 gallons of water capacity below us here, and then we have the ability to make water also, which is a real treat.
A desalinization setup?
Real simple one, but we can make about 10 gallons an hour, and it's very helpful. We never did load water onto the boat in Alaska this year. We just made water the whole time we were operating up there.
Okay.
Store the tender for the boat, which is 11-foot inflatable with an electric outboard that turned out to be absolutely wonderful to have on the boat. No noise, and it just gives, we had to anchor out because the boat is so long, and it enabled us to get into town when we were anchored out of town or any little harbor we were in to get the crew off the boat and do whatever we needed to do. And then the genset charges up the electric motor, so that was a treat. Plus it was limited horsepower, so you couldn't get in too much trouble with it. Forward here, the other most wonderful part of the boat is when you get to anchor up in the evening, and we have a 350-pound four-fug anchor and a couple thousand pounds of 9/16 chain, I think 100 fathoms, and a great anchoring system that was engineered by a few people here in town. Jim Franken and Pete Langley did a lot of the casting, and Tim Hoffman did some welding, and it was a lot of community effort into coming up with a good system for anchoring, and it worked really well. I like to think of an anchoring system as if you can get 8 hours of sleep, you got a good anchor. And it worked well for us this year, so we're pretty happy about that.
Well, what do you say, Rick? Let's head back into the galley and see what's going on.
Wait a minute.
This is how you attract the best crew in the Northwest. You put in a full bidet with air fluff and irrigation systems and heated... You're recording this?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, take a look at that. It's a great device. Parashop would be proud of me.
Looking good.
Yep.
Okay. Good.
I should introduce
myself.
Where did she go?
She went to find her bucket. Forget about the fluffy head.
So you say why the bidet? Well, I'm Pam will explain.
Okay. Well.
No, don't do that.
We saved over 60,000 yards of toilet paper.
That's right. I mean, it's a big savings. I have a friend that's got one. It's great. I don't know.
You don't have to go down that road.
Join us next time when we speak with Pam Petronic and with two additional crew members, young women in their mid-20s who ventured out as crew for their very first season. They tell us their stories and how the adventure has changed their lives and perspectives. Next time on our Working Waterfront.